All right, everybody take your Bibles out and turn to Joshua chapter 17. Joshua chapter 17. We're going to start reading in verse 14. We're going to read a few verses. Joshua chapter 17. We're going to read verses 14 through 18. And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people? For as much as the Lord hath blessed me hereto. And Joshua answered them, If thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. And the children of Joseph said, The hill is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Bethshean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, Thou art a great people, and hast great power. Thou shalt not have but one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you for the truths that are found in the word of God and so many illustrations. And dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for these truths that we can apply to our lives. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just meet with us tonight. And just use your word as you see fit. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that tonight that we would just apply these truths to our lives and just help us to walk out a changed people, just closer to you, more zealous for the things of you, and just more encouraged. And I pray that you just meet with us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua here is the conquering captain, and basically we see in the first part of Joshua that Moses, actually in chapter 1, and just kind of turning there real quick, we see that in verse 1, Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' ministering, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go up this Jordan. And so we see that Moses has passed off the scene for a while now. And actually in chapter 13, I believe we see that Joshua is getting up in age. And here's the thing is that, you know, the roles of Moses and Joshua, we see that Moses kind of stood for the law and Joshua was a type of Christ. Turn your Bibles real quick to John chapter 1. And we see this typology here in John chapter 1 and verse 17. The Bible says, For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so, anyways, we see that Joshua here is in charge, and Joshua is in charge of dividing up Canaan, and each tribe received its portion, and Canaan pictures the Christian life. And we see that, you know, we have battles to win and territory to conquer, and basically God expects us to not just be sitting still, but to be conquering. And we see the tribe of Joseph here receives its land. It's one of the largest tribes, and the tribe from which Joshua came. And we see here that in verse 14, that in Joshua chapter 17 and verse 14, that we see that the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, Why hast thou given me but one lot? And see, here's the thing. If they thought their lot was too small, they thought that they deserved better. And, you know, the thing about it is I believe that as I read this, we see the pride in their protest. And they think, you know what? They tell Joshua that, you know what? I'm a great people. And they're almost using the Lord's words against him. And you know, the thing about it is that when it comes down to it, this I am a great people should not have been a source of flaunting or pride, but a source of encouragement or courage. Because, you know, as you look back, the children of Israel saw many, many victories, many great things because of the fact that they were a great people because they were God's people. And so here's the thing is we see that they were not content with what they had. Just like, I'll be honest with you, many Christians are not content with what they have. And, the thing about it is that I've heard over the years, well, the church just doesn't recognize my talent. Or why can't I have that position? Or why is so-and-so? And I'll be honest with you, when it comes down to it, when we think about the verse, godliness with contentment is great gain in 1 Timothy chapter 6. But the problem is that many people desire things that they did not work for. And the thing about it is that when we talk about talent or position, I'll be honest with you, as you talk to pastors across America, pastors are in deep need of deacons and trustees. But I'll be honest with you, you go across America and Sunday night services all across America are very, very limited. Wednesday night services, the attendance is very low. How in the world do we take and have leadership of our church that isn't faithful to church? And so, you know what? I'll be honest with you. Many pastors feel like it is better to have no leadership as far as a deacon than to have bad leadership. You think about the verse that confidence in an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. And so here's the thing is when it comes down to it, you know what? An unfaithful man is worse to put in a position than have a vacant position. So I'll be honest with you, across America, many, many positions are vacant because we're looking for a faithful man. And so, too many times we want different things, but we're not willing to put the effort into it. And in this area, we see a truth emerging. God has more for them than what they've been given. And the thing about it is he didn't want to just hand it to them. He wanted, you know what, there's a lesson to be learned here. I'll never forget when I was growing up, my parents told me, if you want to drive, you need to earn money and get a car. And I'll never forget, I saved up, and it was a 1966 Volkswagen Bug. And the clear coat, it was brown. The clear coat was coming off. And I'll never forget, we'd went across the river to a different city to purchase it. And we told the people, if you can get it across the bridge, we'll buy it. Come to find out, they ended up pushing it across the bridge, bumper to bumper. And the Blue Bridge was a big, busy bridge. And they got it to the other side, somehow got it running again. And I ended up buying it. It had, later on, I found one of those, back in the day, they had the boxes on the window where the dealer had the key and you put the keys in the box. And it had one of those under the back seat. And it was all mangled and stuff. So I don't know if there were, stealing cars on the side or what the deal was. But here's the thing is, you know what? That car obviously didn't quite run the way it should have. And it needed a lot of work. And I'll never forget, I decided I was going to work on this Volkswagen Bug. And the lights didn't work. And so I took speaker wire and ran wire from the front of the car all the way to the back. And my dad wasn't too enthused. He's like, well, we can't have that. And so later on, he helped me fix it. But the thing about it is that you know what? There was other people in my school that were given cars. And, you know, the thing about it is I've seen them. One of them was given a Toyota pickup truck. I'll be honest with you, I was a little jealous. It had the Nerf bar around the top, the roll cage, if you will, with the lights across the top. And it was something else. But you know what was interesting is they didn't appreciate it. They used and abused that thing, whereas it was a dark brown car. And here's the thing is, it didn't look like much anything, but I'll be honest with you, I was proud of that thing. Man, I was out there, even though the clear coat was coming off, I washed that thing and waxed it, I don't know how many times. And you know what? And it didn't make it look any better. But you know what? There was a lesson to be learned. There was growth that needed to happen. And basically, this is what God is instructing Joshua to do. We see here in verse 15, and Joshua answered them, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. Basically, Joshua tells them, cut wood. Cut wood. And basically, the truth comes out. You know, the thing about it is clearing land, the land will take work. But you know what? I remember hearing a lot growing up, anything, you know, there are no free lunches. And so anything, you know, if you want anything substantial, you have to work for it. And so here's the thing is that I'll be honest with you, the tribe doesn't want the job. But you know what? We need to be willing to step out on faith and put God to the test because God is faithful. I don't know how many times they had seen God work. You know, here's the thing is they're to Canaan land. You know what? All throughout their life, they had seen God do many wonderful things. And you know what? They'd heard their grandparents talking about God working. And they'd heard their parents talking about things that God had done for them. But listen, when it comes down to it, you know what? I'll be honest with you. We need to cut wood. You know, the time has come where, you know what, as here's Calvary Baptist Church, you know what, we've been given a rich heritage. I was just talking, Ralph and I were out knocking on doors and we were talking to an individual and they're like, how long has the church been around? And I'm like, I think the 50s. And so here's the thing is, you know what, there was a lot of folks that cut wood to give us this heritage. Here's the thing is, you know what, I'll be honest with you, this church didn't get started by the faint of heart. This church didn't continue by the faint of heart. There was a lot of people who decided, you know what? God has more for us than what we have now. We're not just content to just be on our way to heaven. We're going to cut wood. And listen, because of many people who took and physically helped build this church and financially gave their tithe and many above over their tithe and decided that, hey, it's time to cut wood. God has more for us today than God has more for us tomorrow than what we have today. And so here's the thing is Joshua is telling him, hey, listen, if you want something in the future, hey, listen, if you're not content with what you have, and I believe that there's a balance there. We should be content with what we have, but decide that God's got greater things for us in the future. But we have to be willing to cut wood. And so here's the thing is the tribe doesn't really want the job. We see that they come up with excuses on, you know what? They said the hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron. I can almost hear them whining now. Let me tell you, you know, you ask my kids. I used to tell them all the time when they were little, I don't speak whine. You know, you want something? Don't be whining while you're talking. The answer is automatically no. You know, and so here's the thing is there's nothing worse than a whine. You know, it's like, are you a man or are you a mouse? I mean, seriously. And so this is what the children of Israel are doing. Hey, listen, they weren't content with what they had, but you know what? They came up with all these excuses on why they shouldn't cut wood. Joshua's telling them, hey, listen, you've seen God work. You know that he's powerful. You know that if God is with you, because here's the thing is all that you've seen in the past, you know that when we walk away from God, failure happens. But when we're with God, God can do many mighty works. And here's the thing is God can use people in great ways. And by the way, the same is true today. Hey, listen, you know what? God didn't die when those people built our church. You know, here's the thing is the same God that we serve today is the same God that helped those people build this church, reach a community for Christ, and decide that, hey, listen, when it comes down to it, you know what? God is still faithful. God is still on the throne. God is still just as powerful. And Joshua is telling him, hey, listen, you know what? Make all the excuses you want. Decide that, hey, listen, these are different times. Decide that, you know what? Hey, listen, they've got chariots of iron. Decide that they're giants. Listen, to God, a giant is nothing. To God, a chariot of iron is nothing. Because we serve a God that not only can do anything, you know what? He can see the future. And whatever plans these giants have, he already knows what they are. No matter how many chariots of iron they have, he said, you know what? I've already got a plan for conquering those chariots of iron and for those giants, but you've got to cut wood. Listen, my plan includes wood. And so here's the thing is the lesson from this group is the fact that, you know what, we've got to cut wood. You know, the thing about it is turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. What it boils down is we have to cut wood. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 through 10. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so listen, works has nothing to do with salvation. None of us can take and be good enough to get to heaven. And you know, the thing about it is, if some of us are good, better than others, some of us are more prone to getting in trouble. But listen, when it comes down to it, works has nothing to do with salvation. But God is very clear, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So you know what? Once we get saved, you know what? And works has nothing to do with that. Once we get saved, we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so the thing about it is that works has, you know what? God requires us to work after we're saved. And so the thing about it is that, listen, and if we're going to reach our potential, it requires work. Just like when I go to my employer, if I decide not to work, I don't get a paycheck. You know? And here's the thing is, there's bills. Stephanie will be coming to me and saying, how come this bill isn't paid? And, you know, where's the money for the food? And the kids will be whining and complaining. Have I had the third meal of the day? And, no, because there is no third meal of the day. And, why? Because daddy didn't work. And so listen, I'll be honest with you. The Christian life is the same way. Too many times we get saved, we've taken and you know what? We've trusted Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we didn't do anything to get salvation. We just trusted Christ and the finished work of Calvary. But here's the thing, is too many times we decide, we just sit there and say, now what? This area that I'm in isn't big enough. You know what? Here's the thing is, I need more. You're right. There is more to the Christian life, but you know what? We've got to cut wood. We've got to cut wood. And so, listen, when it comes down to it, if we're going to reach our potential as a Christian, we've got to cut wood. What are you doing to develop your lot? God has more in store for you than just salvation. God doesn't plan on us just sitting in a pew and occupying space. God wants us to cut wood. God wants us to cut wood. You know what? God has a plan for us. He wants us to conquer our area. And so the thing about it is that God doesn't expect us to just sit where we've been given because there's a future. See, the thing about it is we see in verse 16, and the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Bashan and their towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. You see, the enemy is strong. They were at war with powerful forces. Do you realize that we have an enemy? The Bible says Satan is as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And so, anyways, here's the thing. The Bible says that he desires to have us that he may sift us as wheat. We have a powerful enemy. And you know, the thing about it is we will experience a battle. But I'll be honest with you, as we're going to look at here in a little bit, if we don't cut wood, we have no weapons. If we don't cut wood, listen, we're sitting there, we're weak and we're frail. And you know what? We're easily devoured. And so the thing about it is basically the chariots of iron, you know what? They had a strong enemy. And we're at war with powerful forces. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 12 through 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 through 18. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Having done all to stand, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all preservation and supplication for the saints. You know what we find in this verse? We find action. Thing about it is we find action. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. It requires an action. That you may be able to stand. Stand requires an action. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. requires an action. Taking the shield of faith. Here's the thing is, all throughout this passage, we see an action. What are they doing? They're cutting wood. Listen, they know the battle's coming. Hey, listen, our enemy, I'll be honest with you. All you have to do is watch the news and realize we have a strong enemy. You know, the thing about it is our enemy is winning a lot of battles. Why? Because you know what? Christians across America aren't chopping wood. And here's the thing is, when it comes time to it, you know what? Too many times we're comfortable. We're sitting in our lot that we've been given. And we need to say, you know what? Hey, listen, we've got wood to chop. You know what? There's a lost and dying world out there that needs us to chop wood. You know what? There are people that need to be pointed to Christ, and we need to chop wood. Hey, listen, our church needs us to chop wood. There are plenty of areas in which somebody can help out. You say, well, you know what? Maybe we're like this group of people and says, you know what? I can come up with every excuse. You know what? I'm too tired. I think all of us are there. You know what? I feel like I need a rest. All of us are there. And the thing about it is we can come up with every excuse. Well, you know what? I'm not good enough, or I don't know how to do thus and so, or listen, hey, listen, chop wood, chop wood. Chop wood. If we're going to do anything for Christ as a church, if we're going to do anything for Christ as an individual, we need to chop wood. Hey, listen, a lost and dying generation of people is looking for Christians that are willing to chop wood. Hey, listen, you know what? There are bus kids that are looking for people that have a real walk with God that are willing to chop wood. There are young people, you know what? Many children of people in the church that are looking for somebody that's willing to chop wood. Hey, listen, we can have a great influence. We can expand our horizons. We can do great things for God because God is able. You know what? We sing the song at Junior Church. He's able. He's able. I know He's able. We know He's able. But are we chopping wood? Are we chopping wood? And so here's the thing is that we see that, listen, God requires us to develop our lot. And you say the enemy is strong. And basically, you know what? We have a powerful enemy, but you know what? We have a powerful God, a more powerful God. Pastor's going through Revelation in the Sunday morning services. And I tell you what, you know what the main goal of all that is? To realize that in the end, God wins. So you know what? I don't know about you. I want to be on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. No more in sin will I abide. Hey, listen, are we chopping wood? Are we chopping wood? Listen, are we developing our lot? Yes, we have a powerful enemy, but you know what? We have the armor of God, but you know what? It requires us to chop wood. It requires us to dig into the Word of God. Hey, listen, we've got to take and be students of the Bible. Are we chopping wood? It requires us to be prayer warriors, people that pray on a regular basis. Are we chopping wood? Are we chopping wood? Because, hey, listen, there's a spiritual battle going on, and God is requiring us to chop wood. How many of us are ready? How many of us are just sitting ducks? How many of us are just sitting on the lot that God gave us and said, I'm on my way to heaven? The problem is Satan will attack if he hasn't already. I'll be honest with you. The sad part about it is many Christians all across America, all across the world, that haven't been chopping wood, they're getting plucked off one by one. They're being sifted as wheat. They're being devoured by the lion. Why is that? They haven't been chopping wood. The thing about it is I'll be honest with you, there's two choices. Either chop wood and see victory for God, or be destroyed by Satan. There's really no other middle ground. We need to chop wood. See, the thing about it is we have the Holy Spirit. Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. The Bible says, ye are of God, little children, and ye have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I wonder if the reason why we're just sitting on our lot is we think, I got this. I'll be honest with you. Every time I thought, I got this, I fell flat on my face. You know why? Because pride goeth, you know what? The Bible's very clear. Pride always is followed by destruction. And the thing about it is too many times we think, well, I don't need to chop wood. Well, I'm going to use my personality. And you know what? I'm going to be able to build a Sunday school class. Or I'm going to use my, you know what? Here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, no. The only way that we can be used by God is to chop wood. And so the thing about it is that, listen, the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. When it comes down to it, we have the Holy Spirit. We need to tap in and chop wood. We see back in Joshua chapter 17, we see that the chariots were a distant threat. Joshua chapter 17 and verse 16. And the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valleys have chariots of iron. Both they who are, and he goes on, they were a distant threat, but they needed to cut wood first. Just like we talked about, wood is needed to build a lot of things. Right now in America, there's all kinds of jokes. I found a valuable find in a barn, and there's a picture of an old Ferrari sitting there and a piece of plywood. And they're like, I sold the plywood for a lot of money. And but anyways, here's the thing: is the cost of lumber is going up, and it's hindering building and whatnot. I talked to a gentleman that the other day that he had bought a house for $300,000 and had put $400,000 into remodeling this house, and he says, current to date, he says I'm $87,000 over the projected estimate for remodeling this house. And this guy is nuts because the house isn't worth that. But anyways, the thing about it is that when it comes down to it, wood is needed for a lot of things. Think about it today. Wood is needed for building churches and for building homes, and we see many things in life. You know, here's the thing: is weapons. A lot of times, weapons needed wooden handles and different things. But you know what? They had to be faithful at cutting wood to use that. Many things in life come on the back of hard work. And so we see in verse 18: "But the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine, for thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, and they that have iron chariots, and though they be strong." Listen, they could defeat the iron chariots. They really weren't a problem. They just had to cut wood. God wants to use us. But here's the thing is, I'll be honest with you, too many times we as Christians were useless because all we want to do is we want to sit on our lot. We don't want to do anything great for God. We don't want to chop wood for whatever reason. And listen, when it comes down to it, God wants to use us. And by the way, the next generation is banking on us chopping wood. Just like we've been given a lot here at Calvary Baptist Church. You know, the thing about it is you hear stories about all these people who did great things so that we could be in this auditorium this morning. Or this evening, what is the next generation going to have? Because if we fail to chop wood, the next generation is not going to be passed the same thing that we've been passed. We need to chop wood. So let me ask you tonight, where are we as far as chopping wood? Are we doing everything that God wants us to do? Or are we coming up with excuses? Are we just happy sitting on our lot? See, He will give us the strength to work and to win each day. What He requires of us is to chop wood. Are we chopping wood? See, the thing about it is the iron chariots can either be a deterrent or they can be a motivation. Because, listen, we will be fighting battles. Do anything for God and you'll fight battles. Anything, you know, the thing about it is you want to reach souls for Christ, you're going to see a battle. You want to help our church grow, you're going to see a battle. You want to disciple somebody, you're going to see a battle. And the difference is whether or not we've chopped wood. One day the iron chariots will come. Are we ready? Are we being used of God? The question is are we chopping wood tonight? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this challenge that we have from the Word of God. And Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to be faithful. I often think about the verse that talks about, moreover, it is required among stewards that a man be found faithful. Dear Heavenly Father, you've placed us as stewards over a lot of things in this world. Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to be faithful at chopping wood. Help us to not get sidetracked. Help us not to get discouraged. I pray that you help us to realize that the iron chariots are coming. Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to do great things for you. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.